WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive into 4th of July, about to do Maryland Crab Cake Tour in August. But most importantly, it's Chicken Palooza in July. I've got my Chicken Palooza gear here. I hope everybody's gearing up. Make sure you got a play to win, free chicken for a year. You know, all the details and rules are at the website, so make sure you're checking that out as well. We have friends and sponsors, and then, you know, I've had a bunch of celebs on this week and different people around the rock and roll world and whatnot. And then I have my true insiders, the sort of Yoda types that hang out with me and try to make Baltimore Positive better, especially as we get up on the Crab Cake Tour. Mike Rosenfeld has been my friend for going on two decades. We sort of bang about as chief digital officer and outsourced chief digital officer. Dude, now I've outed you. So if anything about my platform sucks, it's your fault.
Oh, look, I'm glad it's taken a little bit for you to get that chief digital officer down. Not a lot of people.
Well, hey, so. Now that I spit it out, you're now fully responsible. Now that I know what it is, you're it. You know,
I appreciate it. You know, it's unfortunate that it takes a lot for people to understand what it is. So I'm glad it came so naturally to you. So I appreciate
chief
it.
Chief digital officer. When I have questions, by the way, last week, just to let everybody know, Rosenfeld's either really a genius because he couldn't figure it out in 5 minutes, or really a genius because he ever figured it out at all. But my calendars now sync on Google. You have like all of this Google knowledge, right? But like, thank Google F's with you. You know what I mean? Things shift. Apple's trying to get a couple bucks a month out of me for storage. I got Dropbox issues. My Dropbox failed me when I was in another country last month. Things happen. And when they happen, it's better to have a chief digital officer. Even if it takes a little while to figure out how the calendar works, you'll figure it out because, you know, Google like moves things around a little bit in the house. Kind of like, you know, when my wife moves the potato masher and I can't find it.
It's true. I mean, those weekend digital warriors who want to do things themselves go to YouTube, try to find a video, and they find it. They're so excited. They're so close. And then they go to find that 4-month-old video isn't reflective of what's on, whether it's Google or any website, because things change all the time. So they get halfway down the path and then they stop. But yeah, it's clear you're a routine guy. You need your calendar. You need other people to see your calendar, and the inability for people to be able to access it and see it and you see theirs was.
Mike, it's just one thing. Any one thing that goes wrong, or that you don't know how to do, or you don't know how to right click on, or like every day I bring people on Zoom. This is an everyday problem. And if they're not really familiar with Zoom, they'll hit share screen instead of start video. Right. Like when they, right? So it's, I do not speak emoji. As much as I like Japan, I like Japanese things, I don't speak the language, and the culture is very emoji-based, as you would know from anime or whatever. And this probably speaks to your kid. My kid's in his late 30s now, so my kid's like closer to being an old fart like me, but not really, you know, in that in-between XEY thing. But like, you know, speaking the language of any of this stuff is the hardest thing. My wife's whole company literally 2 weeks ago moved to Google Mail. And she works at a major, major company with hundreds of thousands of employees. And she was in there watching how-to videos. And I was like making a sandwich, having breakfast. And I heard it and I'm like, that's really good. Like I should sit here and like figure out Google Mail. Because like I think all of us, the first time we try to drive it, we need somebody like you, man, that helps us a little bit.
I appreciate it. I have a client who said, I am going to be your least tech savvy client ever. And he's not,
does he have a flip phone? Let's start with that.
He's on the lower 10%, I would say, I actually think that, those who are willing to admit their shortcomings, it gets a start off in the right spot. There's too many people who put the guard up and posture that they know more than they do. But this guy's a really successful guy. He really doesn't have to work anymore, but he chooses to. He's spinning up his own company. And my goal and his goal for me is to get him in a position where he can work sitting on a balcony overlooking a lake and billing and making money, and we're getting them there.
Mike, you know, I remember when did iPads come out? 8, 9?
It's going to be longer than I think. My family calls my iPad my pacifier because I take it wherever I go.
Were you first in line at the door waiting to get it, or no?
I'm not normally that guy, but I got it within the first 6 months of when it was available.
Okay, I remember the first time I saw it, right? Yeah. And I don't mean Steve Jobs showing it. I mean, like, I was with a girl at a club, 9 o'clock at night at a cocktail lounge at a sort of a networking thing for young, sexy people back when I was young and sexy. That's how long ago this was, right? Long time ago. Okay. So when the iPad came out, and I remember I was at that club, Red Maple. I was at Red Maple.
Okay.
Very sexy. You would admit, like, nice, great food, the whole deal, right? And a girl I knew who is a very Tony Robbins person. She's a really special person, actually. I've noticed since she was a kid, and she was a listener when in 1992. She gives me the iPad, and I start, like, playing with it a little bit. And I'm a writer, so, you know, like, I need one of these. But I remember, like, how monumental that was to have that. And then I remember, and I'll never forget this, and I don't want to out this business owner, because it would – but there was a person I know who owns a restaurant in the city who is certainly from an immigrant family, much – 15 years older than me, maybe 20 years older than me. So probably 70 now, or I don't, you know, I don't know exactly how old, but like that old. And we're going back 15 years ago. I went into his restaurant within 90 days of seeing the first ever iPad. Okay. And I went into his restaurant, and his restaurant, not really super successful, not like a chain, not like a guy that's a billionaire, just a regular guy. I mean, really a regular guy, restaurant guy, one shop owner, mom and pop kind of guy, and certainly older in a technological way where you'd think, how would he, I mean, certainly people his age still had flip phones and stuff like that. And he showed me on his iPad in 2007 or 8, the first time I'd ever seen it, every camera in his business, in all of his other businesses, in his home, in his garage, out the window. And he's a security guy. He's from maybe a part of the world where the world's crazy, right? But he likes security. And that iPad gave him the ability to monitor his life and business in a way that made him really comfortable. And, like, I don't know, it opened my eyes to all of this. So whenever technology changes in a way like that, and I see first adopters to anything, it's always like, I'm amazed. I mean, J.R. Richardson's run my radio station. He's, I don't know how old he is, but he's closer to 80 than he is to 70, wherever that is. And he runs our whole business on an iPhone. And I'm astonished by all of you who ever built this stuff, man.
Well, look, for me personally, the iPad is my favorite device. My kids would say it's their phone. I just like the larger footprint to be able to do.
I could never write on it, so that's why I could never get over the glass of it. You know, when I touch, my wife has had it for a decade. When I touch it, it. I can't play with it. I don't touch it well. It doesn't respond. It's like a piano. I could never learn to play it. You know,
I think it's very interesting. We talked earlier about a chief digital officer, and I'm not like a bits and bytes guy. I'm not a guy who's going to open up a computer and program stuff. I don't know that. I'm more a entrepreneurial strategist type of guy. But I do like my gadgets. I'm sitting here right now because you're the first conversation I have all the way through lunch. And today is the day the exterminator comes just to make sure everything's okay. So I'm sitting here with my laptop, my two screens, and I got my phone on with my Ring doorbell looking out front because I know this guy's going to show up sometime during one of my conversations, whether it's with you, whether it's with a client who's right after you.
Well, the multitasking part, everything's, I mean, I get notifications and reminders I don't want, right? Like, literally, right. We all do.
Yes. In fact, I'm at the stage right now where I'm just deleting apps that have been sitting out there that are notifying me for stuff I've never reacted to in a year. if I haven't used it in a year, I'm taking it off.
You know what's crazy, man? I want to pull something up here, and like we'll have some fun with this because like you and I do business together. Mike Rosenfeld is here. He is a web connection. He is our web doctor around here and our connection to all things. Tell me how to find you and like all that. I'll give you give you that oxygen because I want to do something funny with you.
Sure.
We don't green room this show.
Sure. You know, the best way is through the website, webconnection.com. I'm a big LinkedIn guy. So if you want, you can reach out on LinkedIn, which to me is the best B2B platform, social platform there is.
All right. So I got and for everybody watching out on the web, I got this. And I would share this with you in our usual Monday powwow just for comedy. But I want to share this with the world to show what the internet is. So like, I put up a piece about Luke doing this thing to Bowie, and I get these random spamolas where they actually have my real website. Things clearly from Russia, right? Like if you read the diction of it, it is certainly not anyone that speaks any language from this hemisphere. Yes, correct. I will pay you for publish this content on your website as well. Please let me know possible options with price uppercase. Cheers, lowercase Jack and Smith. It's almost like from Jack Mehoff. I've gotten some email from him over the course of time and that Haywood guy as well. The amount of scammy, spammy stuff that we all have to sort of thicket through, right, on any given day. And then I go into like the real spam thing and I see how much stuff Google's like catching and my mail is catching and servers are catching. And then I think about how WNST got thrown out of everybody's email server for being a spamologist because we delivered a daily morning newspaper that most people opted into. At some point, all of it, it feels a little threatening to some degree on a privacy level. And I think I always come back to privacy with you and wondering just how much we really have.
Yeah. I mean, I think back to the beginning, like of the spam was all about Viagra. I mean, you would get, I hope I wasn't a target, but you'd get all these emails and I'm like, who is clicking on these things? Who is buying these things? But it must, I mean, there are people making a living doing it. So
well, it's like cold calling or knocking on doors with encyclopedias or like any of that is now here. Mike, my condo's on the market and you know, it's out Zillow, wherever the hell they do all this. Moeller and Gary Realty, Jeff Moeller's our guy. Please come buy it. My wife wants to have a garden. And I want to have a barbecue. I feel really manly when I get a spatula and some tongs, which I don't get enough of anymore. And like, I want beer out of a cooler, like beer with ice in a plastic bucket outside. So I haven't had any of that in a while. I need a tailgate at Merriweather's what I need. I got a text on Tuesday afternoon that was spam that knew my name, my address, and was come on, he like, I'll pay you cash for your condo now. And I'm like,
messed up. Look, I got you know this, but I have a property in Canton that's for sale. I got the same exact stuff. And then I got the follow. It's like, it's a threaded, if you don't respond.
Let's not defund the police. Let's police this better.
It's a problem.
You know what I mean? It's one thing to have shootings in Fells Point. We could talk about that. I know you want to talk about people leaving Baltimore and young people and your kid and my kid still loves Baltimore, lives here, you know, like all of that. Right. But I think there's a whole part of all of this where the Russians have stolen the minds of many people in this country, obviously, including NBC sanctioning that ish last week. But the internet is like, really the wild, wild west. And there ain't no police. I mean, I'm seeing kids buying drugs and dying on Snapchat. And Snapchat says, yeah, maybe we'll get around to figuring out how to put a parental device on it. I can't imagine having an 8-year-old kid. I mean, everywhere I go, little kids are on devices that look more expensive than mine. And I'm thinking, man, I hope they don't have, you know, Hustler and Sherry and Wee and Playboy the way we did back in the day, or they'll wind up twisted with long hair like I did, you know?
Well, Once again, each time we talk about this, you know, we're similar in age. I remember probably being 15, 16, and seeing on 60 Minutes the first time I think I'd ever seen someone just being killed, you know, and it was, you know, parental discretion is advised. And it was so disturbing. And now any day at any minute.
I remember when the internet got going, it was Faces of Death and like all of this, but really, really horribly morbid stuff.
Constant, you know, stuff. I would not, you know, my kids are a little bit younger than yours, 27, 23. They missed the very heavy duty social media pressure, social bullying phase. They were right on the end of that. I would not want to raise.
We had real bullying. Remember that?
Look, I think
that nobody would do anything about 30 years ago.
I think it was easier to be able to in person roll up your sleeves and do the best you could to end that. To be.
Well, especially if you're a 9-year old girl and it's a bunch of 14-year old boys, right?
I mean, I can't imagine. I've always said I have two brothers and I have two sons, so I'm sure I would have figured out how to be a parent to a daughter, but that would have, I think, added a lot more concerns, you know, for sure. And I appreciate and respect parents who are raising young women in today with all of these tools and all of the stuff that's going on. It's crazy.
Mike Rosenfeld is here. He is a web connection. He's our web connection. We sit around and like basically BS about computer oriented things. If you are in the digital space or not, even better if you're not, you need some help, need some good advice. Mike's always a great resource. He's always been a great resource to us, even from back in the day when we were building those GeoCity sites that we talked about, and you've got mail and CompuServe and all of that stuff. The Google changes that are sort of universal are going on. I mean, one of these things that I get up with you every week is, you know, Apple changes this and Google changes that, and things, crazy things happen, like China shuts down like a Hong Kong newspaper. Like there's all sorts of freedoms that all of us have. We talk privacy, but Google is always sort of changing the rules, right? All of these companies are. I mean, I see the fine print. I have to opt into getting cookies and like all of that. I don't know if they're trying to police it. I'd like to believe they are, but I know better.
Well, yeah. So I think we may have discussed this, but not in this detail. So every once in a while, there's a major shift that goes on. And Google has announced that in 2022, they are doing away with tracking people with cookies. So those people who aren't aware, cookies, and that's what you were referring to when it says I accept these cookies.
This is how I passed a restaurant called Persimmon and said the word persimmon out loud, and this morning got literally served an ad for persimmon juice.
Exactly. So you talk about privacy, and that's how they know how old you are, because if you ever go to a website and you put your name and your birthday and all that, well, the cookie now does the math and says, okay, you're 54 years old and you're a male and you live in this area because
you like Russian Led Zeppelin and Bruce Springsteen.
Exactly. Well, what Google has said is that they will still use cookies for themselves, but not for third parties. So what does that mean? That means exactly what you said for the, you know, the juice example, or you're looking at a Ford pickup truck, and then the next thing you know, you're at the Ravens website and you see a Ford pickup truck banner. That's using cookies. That is going to stop in sometime in 2022 for those third party websites. And Google serves tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of third party websites. They are the engine that serves those banners. And that's going to stop. They're going to be switching to an artificial intelligence model. No one knows except for Google people what that means. So people like me who advise clients on how to win online, we have to just read and see when this change happens and learn.
Well, good. You figure it out and let me know so we can go win.
Well, I am trying to advise all my clients, you know, this is the last year you have to try to target these people, target your audiences before they flip the switch and turn this off. Learn as much as you can about which targets worked. And then once, like I said, the switch is turned off, it's over. It'll be a whole new dynamic.
Who runs Google, man? Like, is all this pressure on Zuckerberg and was her name Sam? But Google, I hear Sergey and like, but I don't hear there. Like, who runs it? I don't even know.
Yeah, so it's
like the Orioles. No one knows.
Yeah, we don't know. That's a whole nother topic. It's Sundar Pichai. It's a monster. They've come a long way. I remember, what was it? Web crawler was the search engine of choice before Google came on. So I've been doing, let's do a quick Google search. When was Google started? Because I think I've been around longer than in the business longer than they are. But I have to admit that they've been a little bit more successful, than web connection, but you know, we can always try.
They had big investors.
Yes. 1998. So,
okay. Yeah. I was going to say it was turn of the century, right?
Yeah. Well, so web connection's 3 years older. Cause I remember when Google came on board and then all of a sudden it just,
well, all of these words like Google and Yahoo and Facebook and they were Twitter, you know, what a tweet was or a twit was and, right. You know, how internet, interweb, worldwide right. web, you know, the funniest one is still the NBC with the Brian Gumbel.
Right.
What is the internet?
So even now, like, do you, if you have someone who says, yeah, shoot me an email at soandso@hotmail.com. When you hear that, do you make an assumption about that person's internet savvy?
AOL? I sent out an email to an AOL person this week.
Exactly. So even that identifies. Now, some people are like, look, I've totally evolved technologically, but so many people know my AOL account. I'm not moving.
I'm nasty at Errols.com.
Oh, I remember Errols. Was Errols the same? Was Errols dial up the same of the movie rentals, or was that a totally separate?
It's the same people, I believe. But what's interesting is I was a very early adopter to all that. I had a radio show. I was trying to figure. I had a newsletter. I mean, I did the dirty work of marketing before it happened. And I remember all of that, you know, chat rooms and, you know, Net Geo Cities and let's make a web page and let's, you know, how many pictures are we allowed to put up? How much space will we, can we, if you put black and white, is it like a printer? You know, I had all those weird questions, but I knew the people that owned Baltimore.net. So they were a squatter early and they were over on Route 40 and they had some machines in the back that made the interwebs work. And I was nasty at Baltimore.net. Baltimore.net. And I thought, what a great domain name and all that. I said, Baltimore Magazine probably would like that one day. So early squatting. We'll get to that next week, dude. I'll check back in with you. Give everybody the best way to find you. Mike has found us for many, many years as a chief digital officer. Give him the lowdown on web connection.
Sure. So once again, we're outsourced chief digital officers. So we help our clients who recognize they don't have in-house a digital leader. They're spinning their wheels. They're doing the best they can with what they have for social media, their websites, their mobile apps, their online marketing. And they just recognize they need help. But they don't want to hire someone full time.
Guys like me.
That's what we do. Yeah.
Guys like me that used to know it all. And then we learn we need help.
Exactly. And like we said earlier, it takes a grown up to recognize what they don't know and a desire to win. And if they recognize they don't know it and they want to win, they have to bring on someone to help them. And that's where we fit in. You can find us at webconnection.com. I'm Mike Rosenfeld on LinkedIn, so that's the best way to connect with me there.
Yeah, builder, creator. I went innovator. I went through all of that last week with Billy. So, we'll catch up with him. I'm going to get him on the show because we're going to figure out how to get Nils Lofgren back on the show. I got Springsteen in New York next week, dude. We got Merriweather. You know, we got beer happening. We got the Heritage Fair happening. We got the Crab Cake Tour happening. Happy summer to you. Go enjoy yourself. All right.
We should get me, you, and Bill on one. That could be good fun. I think we could.
I'd listen to that. Yeah. I probably will.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You got it. Mike Rosenfeld joining us here, Web Connection. He is our CDO. That's Chief Digital Officer. I'm going to come up with some different acronym for what CDO would stand for. Take me a minute.
No,
we'll do that next week.
No, you have.
I'm Nestor. We are WNST, Towson, Baltimore, AM 1570. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.